All right, right now, Sam Aaron is back with us from the South Carolina Policy Council. They recently conducted a survey across the state of some likely voters, registered voters, across the Palmetto State. The legislative session continues today and tomorrow for the week. And, of course, the highly contested and debated and talked about the GOP primary in the race for governor, first time in the better part of the last 16 years that there's an open primary for the governor's race on the Republican side. Since Nikki Haley turned over the reins to Governor McMaster after being appointed to serve as the UN ambassador under the first Trump term. And then from there, McMaster won back-to-back elections with Madam LG at his side. Of course, term limited out as the longest tenured governor here in the history of the state of South Carolina. Sam, how's it going this morning? Good morning.
Doing well. How are you? Good morning as well.
Hey, hanging tight, man. The weather's warm. We've got some rain on the way, but nonetheless, much better than where we've been in terms of the temperatures here for the last 2 weeks. 22 days yesterday, for the first time that we had temperatures in the 60s. So 3 weeks of really winter northeast type weather here in the area. I'm out, by the way, on the winter like weather. I'm not sure about you.
Yeah, I'm pretty over it myself. You know, it's pretty beautiful down here in the capital city as well.
Well, with that said, in terms of the capital city, what's the buzz right now around this legislative session as it pertains to the business getting done in the state house and the Senate?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of things going on in the state house. I would say your two topics that are kind of getting the most attention right now are data centers and tax reform. So we've got a tax reform proposal for the income tax over in the Senate, as well as a property tax bill in the Senate. And then on the data center side, we're seeing a lot of legislation. There's been so far, I think, three bills filed in the Senate that are aimed to, you know, ensure that ratepayers aren't responsible for paying for energy that's used by data centers. So I think those are kind of your two big issues that are being talked about a lot right now.
No, with that being said, my friend, as part of that winter poll that the South Carolina Policy Council recently conducted, ending February 1, about 1,200 registered voters, you asked a number of questions, taxes and data centers amongst those list of questions that you were asking?
Absolutely. So we always really value these polls just so we can kind of get an insight on where the voters of South Carolina really sit on these issues. So we asked them about data centers. We asked them about taxes and spending. And when we asked about what the voters think about eliminating the state income tax, we got a really good response. 72% of voters supported reducing or eliminating the state income tax. And what's interesting about this is you think about this as like a Republican conservative position to cut the income tax. But this is pretty bipartisan. There's a majority of Democrats and independents who also support this. Now, the number's a little higher with Republicans, but it's a bipartisan issue that I think both parties agree, you know, we got to do something about this income tax. Additionally, we asked if voters think that we should adjust our spending accordingly, right? If we're going to cut these taxes, should we maybe think about how often we're increasing the budget? And 65% of voters supported the approach of pegging budget growth to inflation and population growth. So this was 65%. 66% agree that tax reform should be paired with spending reform. So all across the board, I would say that your South Carolina voter is a fan of fiscal sanity and kind of a fiscal conservative approach to taxes and budgeting.
Now, with that said, Sam, I mean, that's not exactly where the legislature might be going, right, in terms of the budget cycle this upcoming year, because based on some of the reporting that I'm reading over on your website, proposals to actually increase state spending this year in the budget cycle.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This was a pretty big disappointment, to be completely frank. It felt like we were really moving on some momentum there, but the budget plan that was proposed by the governor, it just looks way too high in my opinion. And the initial draft of the budget is typically, in the past couple of years that I've been following the budget cycle, it's the smallest. So it's only going to get bigger from here, which is just a cause for concern. You know, you're increasing the budget substantially year over year, and right now it's fine because the revenue's coming in and everything looks good on the financial forecast, but eventually it's not, you know, and you have to be able to like make these kind of trade-offs. And the main concern I have is that if you keep getting used to spending more and more money, then when you have to cut back, you're not able to, and then you're going to have to reverse course on tax reform, right? So that's the big concern.
Talking with Sam Aaron of the South Carolina Policy Council, you can find out more about what they do, some of the timely articles that they have pertaining to our legislative session and other issues going on around our state on their website at scpolicycouncil.org, combing through some of the feedback that they received based on this recent poll that they conducted late last month into early February, about 1,200 registered voters as part of their winter survey. In terms of the data centers, do you feel like there's still sort of an education gap, right, amongst the general public in terms of what these data centers are and the impact these centers can have on you, maybe your utility bill, as they pop up all over our state and throughout our country?
Absolutely. You know, I think that's part of the reason why it's so difficult to get polling data on it. But we did poll the topic, you know, to just kind of try and get like a sense for where they stood on the issue. And you have to provide a lot of context, right, because it's a very complex subject. But when we asked them how South Carolina should handle data center regulation, 40% said that they should be required to generate their own power and not rely on the grid. 39% said that they should be required to pay the cost of upgrading facilities to increase energy generation. So, I mean, the voters are pretty clear. They don't want to be responsible for paying for this stuff. They think that if the data center is going to show up, that the data center should cover the costs associated with it. And that's kind of where I tend to land on the issue, too. You know, I kind of look at it almost from a corporate welfare kind of perspective, right? The ratepayer has been paying into this thing, and we've invested to, you know, get to certain generation capacity. And then this big entity is going to come over, and it's just going to suck up all the power. And then whenever we need more, they're not going to help us. We're just going to have to pay more. We're just going to pay more on our rates to increase that baseload. That just doesn't seem right to me. I think that the real solution would be that would reduce externalities would be these data centers generating their own power, you know, having something like a small modular nuclear reactor. So that way you don't have any of the issues with the pipelines or anything like that, them creating their own power off the grid. So that way you've got your public base load on the grid over here, and then this data center's making its own, you know, electricity. And that doesn't put a strain on the taxpayer or the ratepayer or anything of the like. So I think that's going to be the solution. To get there, though, is an uphill battle for sure.
Well, with that said, right, because as you've highlighted over at SC Policy Council through your website and our conversations, scpolicycouncil.org, is the fact that, you know, it's not just a South Carolina thing, but a lot of state government around the country, they love that idea, as you mentioned it before, of corporate welfare, right? Let's pass the buck on maybe to ratepayers, consumers, taxpayers, so long as we can, you know, cushion the incentives and the potential tax breaks for these companies to come in, build these types of centers, build a manufacturing plant. I mean, it seems like, once again, you know, okay, we're giving the breaks to the big corporations while the small mom-and-pop businesses are the ones that are the lifeblood of the economy, yet they get no such type of break when it comes to them doing business as it relates to their bottom line and payroll.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, you know, and just recently, I think it was either last week or the week before, you know, Scout Motors is coming back asking for more money, and it's like, my goodness, guys, do you guys not have enough? Did we not give you enough already? You know, they want another, I believe it was $150 million on continued investment, right? It's just a little bit ridiculous. You know, the fact that we're asking the taxpayer to finance these business operations for these companies, it's like, look, I want like good companies to come to our state and invest in our state and, you know, build their manufacturing plant here. I think that is all well and good, but I think that rather than targeting and just writing them a blank check, we should just create a tax structure that incentivizes them to come here. And, you know, we love the free market here at the Policy Council, right? I believe in free market capitalism. I think it's the greatest, you know, system for human prosperity. But what we have across the United States is not a true free market system, because you have all of these states that are doling out these incentives. It's like that removes how it should work. Is you should be able to look at all the states and say, this environment is the best, right? This is the best because of XYZ, not this is the best because they're going to write me a check, right? That I think that we've completely lost the plot on how this thing's supposed to work.
in addition to your conversations and your poll as it relates to taxes and then, of course, the data centers. You also talked about transportation. And, in fact, we're going to get Congressman Ralph Norman, candidate for governor, on the show next week. He has an op-ed at Fitz News today highlighting his vision for the way we pay for roads and this conversation ongoing over in Columbia. This idea of modernizing the South Carolina Department of Transportation. When it comes to transportation-related issues, of course, we're sort of the joke up and down the East Coast as relates to our roadways and how terrible they are, particularly our interstates, which is more of a federal thing, of course. But nonetheless, when it comes to our roadways, our infrastructure, how we pay for these sorts of things, where do the people stand on that through your poll?
Well, we kind of wanted to take a different approach, right? Because if you ask people how satisfied are you with your roads, they're all just going to say, I hate my roads. So we asked them, right, if you look at the past decade, the budget for the DOT has doubled in that time span. So we asked them, should we continue to increase the budget for the DOT without first implementing some sort of structural reform to track how they're spending and, like, if it's working, right? 58% said, no, don't increase it, right? Then we also asked, because this has been a reform that we think is a great way to reduce state control of roads and give autonomy back to the municipalities and the counties, right? We asked if the voters supported the idea of transferring state road ownership back to, you know, the counties and the municipalities. So the idea here is, you know, if the state owns control of all of these roads, interstates and secondary roads, obviously the little road over here and the back streets over in Lexington County, that one's not going to get picked up as much as the massive interstate widening project, right? But if the county's in control of that road over there, it's going to get reported more at a quicker rate, and it's likely going to get repaired at a quicker rate. So that was one of the questions that we asked. 65% supported transferring ownership of these secondary roads back to the municipality or the county. So I think that's some positive stuff. You know, we've got these two. There's a Senate and a House proposal for reforming the DOT and modernizing, right? I think there's some good stuff in there. There's some issues. We're still kind of digging through it to really get, like, a hard stance on it and figure out what works and what doesn't. But I'm encouraged to see that at least lawmakers are, like, receptive to this and they understand that this is a big issue.
Hey, Sam, just to wrap it up, obviously, Kat mentioned Congressman Ralph Norman running for governor on the Republican side. We've got the June primary. The filing period still hasn't opened yet, but there's money being spent, and the candidates are making their rounds. We have spoken at length with most of the leading candidates on the Republican side, four of the five. Have had unsuccessful inquiries into trying to get State Senator Josh Kimbrell on the show. Nonetheless, you asked those 1,200 registered voters where they stand if the Republican primary were to be held today. Who would you support in the GOP primary, and what were the results of that question?
Yeah, so no real surprise here that the great winner, it seems always to be the case, is that undecided is the leader in the clubhouse, right? 43% of Republican voters remain undecided. While in the lead amongst the actual candidates, you have Nancy Mace at 18%, followed closely by Alan Wilson and Pamela Ebbett at 12%, then Ralph Norman at 11, and Josh Kimbrell at 4. The real takeaway, I think, here is that the South Carolina voter, this just isn't quite on their radar yet, right? I know that there's been a little bit of ad spending, but I think that that's probably going to pick up as we get kind of closer to the actual primary date. I think you'd probably see some spending around the April time, you know, and as we get into the debates. So I look at this and I think this is kind of anybody's ball game. I think anybody can really make a surge there, with the exception of Josh Kimbrell just kind of lagging behind there at 4%. But it also seems that he hasn't really been talking a whole lot, so it's kind of unsure of what he's got going on. But yeah, I think undecided voters, 43%, you know, anybody can pick up anything. So it's really just a matter of how these candidates handle themselves within the debates.
And there's no question, the first debate with all candidates on stage on the Republican side will be right here in Conway over at Coastal Carolina coming up on March 17th. And we continue to talk with these candidates on a weekly basis, from Representative Mace to the AG. the LG, and then, of course, Congressman Ralph Norman. Is it a surprise to you, I guess, as you said, kind of, you know, still not on the radar of a lot of these primary voters as a whole? Things will pick up, you know, once the campaign spending and the visuals start to pick up, when the filing period gets underway. But at least according to your poll, and again, we've had various surveys, and that's been the dominating factor, you know, multiple percentage of people still undecided. Nancy Mace hasn't really seen a slide, you know, like some have predicted based on her willingness. She said that, you know, State Senator Josh Kimbrell not talking much. Well, she has no problem talking, and it hasn't seemed to hurt her one way, shape, or form, because she's right there in the mix within just a few percentage points, whether she leads the poll like yours indicates or whether she lags behind in second or third place.
Yeah, you're totally correct. You know, I think that the old saying of, you know, all press is good press seems to reign true. There's clearly a lot of name recognition, and the voters are familiar with her and they've seen her a lot. So that's definitely going to be a factor. I think that, you know, some of these other candidates, there's still that era of familiarity. Also, one thing that I think is really interesting when you look at this primary and this polling in particular is how specific to the region it is, right? So when you look at our poll on this, the majority of the support that Representative Mace has is coming from Charleston. The majority of the support that Representative Norman has is coming from the upstate, right? And then the Midlands here is kind of split between Lieutenant Governor Abbott and Attorney General Wilson. So that tells me, anyways, that this is a real issue of whose name do people know more. So I think that once people start kind of dipping into that, the war chest, and, you know, increasing their ad spend, you're going to see some different numbers.
Again, you could review and comb through some of the articles and issues at hand on the minds of our friend Sam Aaron and the South Carolina Policy Council, along with their winter poll results at scpolicycouncil.org. Sam, great update as always, my friend, and we'll do it again real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Again, that's scpolicycouncil.org.